There he is. Hey, Dimitri, how you doing,
Hello,
sir?
hello, good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So today you are talking about SAML productivity tooling, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's
Sweet.
fun. Before we started, you were chatting to me. You got this, Dimitri, you know all this stuff. And I have to admit, it doesn't matter how long I do this, I get nervous before every single talk. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. But it's
Yes.
just being human. So don't
Exactly. Well, welcome to being human.
Yeah, if you want to present, you folks listening out there, don't be afraid because we're all afraid. It's just part of it, and you'll be okay. Just prepare. That's the key trick.
That's correct. All right, sir, take it away.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, what a great talk right before me. Jessica did such a great job. I love user experience. But today we're going to talk about building user experiences using XAML. So let's go into my slide deck here. So what is my talk? I'm going to talk to you about XAML productivity features. And in case you don't know who I am, my name is Dimitri Lilin, and I'm the program manager that watches after XAML tooling. I've been the XAML tooling PM for about 2 years now, and I do everything I can to make sure XAML developers have the best tools to solve the problems that you might be having with development in terms of not being as productive. So I'm trying to make you more productive, and my team is trying to make sure that there's less bugs, et cetera, et cetera. So what are we going to talk about today? I'm going to follow along some of the topics that we already showed in the keynote. So if you watch the keynote, you will see some of the demos again. But I'm going to go deeper, and I hope that you'll still learn something. So even if you've seen the keynote, if you're not super familiar with the feature, I personally believe you'll walk away being more informed than you were getting started. I'm also going to extend out, if time allows, to look at some of the preview feature work we're working on and even try to look at what's next. Our team is very busy. They're doing a lot of course, quality improvements, performance, things like that, but they're also building new features. And I want to kind of lay out some of the things we're thinking about for the future. So today, my PowerPoint is quite light. I'm going to take you straight into demo land. So let's kill the PowerPoint. Almost sneaked to the wrong slide there, but it's okay. And let's look at my screen. So the first feature that we're going to go through is XAML hot reload. And I want to be very clear that if you were like setting a minimum bar of Visual Studio versions, Visual Studio 16.8 can be your minimal bar for the vast majority of the demos that I'm about to do for you. If something is requires something higher, I will do my best to point that out. But if you're on 16.8, which is the current production release, you should be able to jump right in and use all these features. If not, let me know on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. So the first feature is XAML hot reload. I'm going to use a different application than I did in the keynote to demonstrate this. So we have this solution. Let me show you the solution. So it's quite large. There's quite a lot of projects in it. It's called WPF Samples. So it's a public solutions. If you go to the Microsoft repo and you search for WPF Samples, you'll find it. And inside of there's an app called Expensit. And I kind of like to use this app for my XAML hot reload demos because it's very real feeling. It's a sample app, but it feels real. And I didn't write it. So it's just as confusing to me as it is to you. And I want to show you how tools can help you make this a little bit easier to work through. So first of all, what is XAML hot reload? XAML hot reload is all about the ability to go from your XAML to your running application in terms of being able to update the UI. It enables you to change the user interface while the app is running. And this could be very valuable in all sorts of scenarios because look at this, I have data here. If I'm designing the app, there's a good chance that I don't have all the data available. I don't have all the dropdowns. I'm not, setting all the right options for this particular user. But as I'm running the app, that becomes a lot easier. So that's one way to use XAML hot reload. Another way is just if you prefer to use the running app as a design surface. So you can do that as well. It's quite capable. So let's go ahead and start using XAML hot reload. The first thing I want to point out is that there's an in-app toolbar experience that we have available for you that makes this all come together because you often are changing XAML in an app that already exists and you need to know where's the XAML that you want to change. So let's go start figuring that out. But first, I'm going to go to the window. So I'm going to use this other tool we have called the Live Visual Tree. So think of like the in-app toolbar to the right and the Live Visual Tree to the left in my demo and the code editor are the three tools together that make hot reload a really great experience. So with the in-app toolbar, I can select things in the app. So let's say I wanted to change this employee number. I don't know where it is. So now I'm using the in-app toolbar. I set element selection. I clicked an employee number. The label got selected where that employee number is coming from. The Live Visual Tree got updated to show you exactly where the source is. You can always get back to the source file by clicking on this little icon in the Live Visual Tree. So everything is interconnected. You can go really quickly from either the running app or the Live Visual Tree straight to your code file. So now that I'm in my code file, let's make some changes. But actually, before I'm going to do that, I'm going to make this window topmost It just makes it easier doing demos because it can show you multiple screens. So let's go topmost true. So there you go, our very first XAML hot reload operation where we're making this the top of the page without the top of the view without having to restart the app. So that's already very powerful. Let's get back to employee number, which I wanted to update. So now that we're at the label I can start making changes. So first of all, I can say its font size is too small. Maybe I want to make it a much bigger font size. Well, no, actually, font size is fine. Maybe we'll leave it alone. You know, what if we added lots of margins? What if we made it a lot more margins? No, it's probably still not good. So, all right, I've tested it. I saw how it would look in the running app, but it didn't seem like the right thing. I'm going to go to this drop down here, this combo box, and I'm not even sure. Should it be here? What if there was no combo box? I'm going to put that back, actually. Put the combo box back. That's fine. Okay, so wait a second. Combo box. Let's go back to there. Let me change some stuff around it. What is this style? I'm not familiar with the style. Okay, if I remove the style, it kind of flies up here, put the style back, it goes into place. So, I mean, just look at what kind of things you'll be able to do. I'm able to change things in real time. You can go really crazy. The demo I really love to do is that imagine if I have, if I just started typing all of this XAML. By all this XAML, I mean everything in this grid. I could just take it out. And if I wanted to start typing it, I could have retyped it line by line and XAML hot reload would have rebuilt the page for you. I'm going to cheat. I'm just going to use Control Z. It treats it as if I typed it. Control Z isn't special in the hot reload scenario. It got all the changes, it queued them up, and it published them to the running application. So if you notice just how much I'm able to do, it's quite drastic. And with the in-app selectors, I'm able to do that in a way that enables me to know exactly where to go and edit the XAML. With the live visual tree, I'm able to navigate the live running application. And we've made this list a lot more clean by making it just my XAML by default, which is an option right here. I'm going to make this slightly bigger so you can see it. So it used to be that the live visual tree, we had some folks complain, was just too verbose. It was giving you every bit of composition detail of things that even weren't your source code. By adding just my XAML, that's on by default, it gets a lot more manageable, right? You can see exactly a representation of your XAML document in here. So hopefully you find that really useful. We've done three more things that I want to talk about. So first of all, we the settings consolidation for XAML hot reload, it was getting kind of confusing where to go for settings. And we've done that update where if you go under, you go into options, you go under debugging, and you go into hot reload, you will now see that all the settings are together under debugging hot reload. And you can do a lot more than you used to be able to do today. First of all, you can manage both WPF, UWP, and Xamarin from one screen. And you can even turn hot reload on and off per platform. And that wasn't possible before. So if you prefer hot reload to be there or not be there for certain platforms, you can actually customize that today. And the rest of the settings are settings that used to exist. They're just consolidated into one place. So hopefully that makes it a little bit easier for folks to use. Another thing that we added is multi-attach. Today, if I run an application, I now get a new node, which shows the app node itself at the very top that shows like what it's connected to for making hot reload and live visual tree work. And if I had started using multi-start feature of Visual Studio, multiple instances of, let's say, two different applications, I would actually get two nodes here, and each node would have its own live visual tree. So we've made that, and it supports even crossing things. So you can have like a WPF app and a Xamarin app, and it will connect to both, and it will do hot reload for both. We also are making this hot reload available. We call it changes only in the Xamarin Forms scenario. So starting with 16.9, developers can basically rely on XAML hot reload being kind of the same feature across the board for all XAML platforms. So that's XAML hot reload. All right, let's jump to the next demo. So next, it's going to be all about data binding diagnostics. And I could show everything from one app, I guess, but it just makes my life a little bit easier. So don't mind me. I'm just going to switch to a different application and bring it up to speed. So this is, again, something you saw in the keynote. But let's go through it one more time. And it's a little less stressful to talk to you in a session versus a keynote. So let's try to get as much detail out as possible. So what was the vision for this feature? Just like we mentioned before, it's the vision of you have an output window today, right? Today's experience is your XAML bindings fail. And here's a perfect example. My app was running for a while. I haven't shut it down since morning. So my output window is getting super, super busy. I mean, here, I'll make it bigger. I mean, look how much stuff is in my output window, right? And XAML binding failures fall in here as well, right? So it makes it really hard. You have to scroll back and you kind of have to scroll all the way to the top and you have to go line by line and be like, okay, can I spot my XAML binding failures here? When is going to be the first one? It's loading a bunch of stuff. Okay, I see some right here. Okay, great. Lots of XAML binding failures. If this is a real app, that was a really tough experience, right? You really suffered. You might have not even known that bindings were failing unless you looked. And now you have to parse strings. What I used to do as a XAML developer, I used to be a WPF desktop developer full-time for a while in my career. I would copy these strings out to Notepad and I would massage them there and go one by one trying to figure out, you know, which ones were resolved and not resolved. So this is just not a good experience. And I'm so happy that I was part of making this hopefully a little bit better for you. So let's show you how it's better. So first of all, the in-app toolbar icon, this icon shows you that at least one error has occurred by becoming red. It also shows you how many bindings have failed. The icon also exists in the live visual tree with a tooltip that gives you the same information, how many bindings have failed in my app and the fact that at least one has failed. And clicking on the icon here or in the live visual or in the in-app toolbar, so I'm going to click on it here in the live visual tree, opens up our brand new experience, which is the XAML binding failure experience, the experience that allows all sorts of improvements. First of all, as you go through this list and you resolve something and you want to remove it from your cognitive workload, you can actually right-click I'm lying to you a little bit. We're adding that in the future release, but soon you'll be able to right-click and delete one of these items. Delete will also work, but I guess I'm thinking ahead. But for now, you can clear everything. But you do get already a few improvements. First of all, I have certain errors which happen more than once. These are template-driven, so the error happens every time a template is loaded, even though the error is the same error in the same line of code. You know, it's not two different places in code. So now we can combine those together for you automatically with a count, and we give you a button to remove the grouping if you don't want it. We also enable you to change these columns. You can move the columns around if you prefer certain things to be left or right. You can filter by certain columns. You can group by particular columns. Let's do a grouping. So we can group by, let's say, binding path. So now you can start looking at things by binding path. You can also, which is really a powerful .NET 5 feature, and it's coming soon to Xamarin as well, navigate to where the error happened in your source code. So here I'm going to double click, and it's going to take me to the line of code. It's going to open main window. It's going to take me to the line where the error had happened. And starting from 69, it will actually take you to the column position of where the error happened. So this gives you great traceability from the starting point of, first of all, I know an error happened, to I see the errors that happened, and it's hopefully easier for me to process them, all the way through, I know exactly where in code I need to go and fix it. And combined with XAML Hot Reload, you can actually start fixing things in real time, right? So that's a really powerful kind of end-to-end experience. All right, so let's move on to another demo of ours. I'm going to switch apps again. And this time I'm going to go to Design Time Data. Design Time Data is another kind of passion project of mine. It really does solve a big problem. So let's break this down into two parts, right? The first part is Design Time Data is not a new concept, right? And it is a XAML designer specific concept. So when I mean XAML designer, it's this editor right here above your code file. If you have it open, I know a lot of customers and I know how I use it. I use it as a powerful previewer, right? It lets me click around. It lets me do kind of element selection for the app while it's not running for the view that I have open, and it allows me to preview the XAML. But what is hard to do today is to visualize the XAML, because in the old way of doing it, you would have to create a fake view model, a mock view model. So you'd have two view models in your app code in C#. You'd have to maintain both of them, and then you would use that to trigger the designer to be tricked into showing you data in the design surface, just like I'm doing here, showing the word test, text block, showing all of this content here, making this red. I guess drawing red on red didn't work. So making it red, putting some characters in it, all of that is Design Time Data that shouldn't be there in the real-world application, but it just enables me to visualize the app a bit better. Or even the message right here on the status bar. Like, all of this would not be here without Design Time Data, and using a view model is really expensive. So we added this new thing called dcolon. That's how we distinguish. We actually, dcolon is very descriptive. It's the mechanism that you're seeing here. So the mechanism works as such. Let me go in here. Let me zoom in a bit more. So what I want to demonstrate is when you start typing text block and you do d colon, you get every single property that would be normally available. So let's say you wanted to do text, right? So test. So here's my new text block. It has the word test in it. I can still write text, and then I can still bind the text to something meaningful. So I can sort of start writing my real production code, but I can also start to visualize it in the XAML designer. So let's zoom in here to the XAML designer. And there you see it says test as well. So it really brings the story end to end. But this is just a really small example because it's a lot more powerful than that. We have a little bit of a bug in this release where IntelliSense doesn't fully work. But if you know what you're typing, so here I know I want text block, you can actually mock even a full text block with text. So now I don't need to have each property be mocked because this is a mock control where I'm just testing something and I don't actually want it to ever be compiled into my production app. We ignore anything dcolon properties and controls. We don't compile them. And this just makes the XAML designer value, in my opinion, increase dramatically. So you do check these changes into your source code. They do live with your source code, but at least you don't have to build something separate and you don't have to depend on MVVM. If you don't use MVVM to build your application, that's fine with this example. You literally can be agnostic of any decision in terms of how you write your application. You can just mimic, you can mock specific properties of your application. The more complex examples here, for example, I have this list view. And this list view, I wanted to show two things. I wanted to see two things myself. I wanted to trigger a template selector because whenever the word Donovan would be found in here, it would make that word bold. I wanted to see if it's working. And I wanted to trigger this scroll bar on the right because I wanted to see what that would actually look like in my application, again, without ever having to run the app. And I was able to do all of that with design time data. First of all, I added a fake list view item source using dcolon. I gave it an array of values and I gave enough values that it would trigger the scroll, right? So let's say I remove two of these values and you see the scroll bar goes away and then I put it back, scroll bar comes back. So as I'm doing this, I'm already getting value out of it. And second of all, because I have an item called Donovan in here, that's why it's bold. It's just because there is a template selector here. So if you go to item template selector, there is a static resource item template selector in there and we're executing it and we're showing what it does for you. Maybe there's some complex scenarios where this won't be as great of an experience, but certainly for these kind of simple changes, it works amazing. Next, another kind of complicated example, in this data grid, I actually have bindings in the real, when the app will be running one day in the future when it's a running app, I'm gonna be a binding to a model of employees. And I'm able to use XArray with model type to basically mimic that in XAML. So I'm basically creating these entities in XAML. So employee is a real entity under my models. So if I go to models and I go to employee, here's my employee class. And if I come back to my XAML application, I'm mocking it in XAML, and that gives me super rich ability to see what this will look like and even choose certain things to be checked or not checked. I can see if like a certain length I'm expecting will go out of line or cause something to get bigger, smaller. And again, without ever having run the app, this works great if you have a view that's not connected to your running app yet. This works great if you're mocking UI that isn't powered by data yet, so running the app wouldn't add value, or if your app just takes a really long time to start up. We heard that from customers. The startup time can be really expensive, and we really want to make all the scenarios better with the XAML designer. So there you go. I hope you check this feature out, and we are literally constantly looking to make it better. So in future releases, we expect to fix bugs and are looking to add more sort of helpful tips and tricks in here to make it putting the fake data in is easier. That's one of the goals of the team as well. So that is design time data. All right, let's switch to the next two demos. I'm going to go back to Baby Smash. This was an application we used multiple times in the keynote, and I want to talk about IntelliSense improvements. So what's going on here? First of all, let's talk about this view. So this view in particular, at a high level, what's important about it is that if I go to code behind, I set the data context in code behind. This could have been some sort of fancy other thing that wasn't XAML. It could be like a dynamic being based on naming convention view model selector, right? So in other words, like something that The XAML IntelliSense service doesn't know. It's a runtime concept. The moment you something becomes a runtime concept, IntelliSense has a hard time to help you while in VS. But while in here, we do want you to have IntelliSense, right? We don't want that to be a limitation you can't overcome. And it is there, but a lot of people just don't know it's been there. So we've added a new light bulb that shows you, and you can trigger the light bulb at the first binding property. And if you can actually even see it up here as well. So here's the light bulb setting data context with enhanced IntelliSense. So all of that enables you to set decol and data context. So let's do that from the property. I am going to do that here and show you what it added. By doing the control dot enter, which is the shortcut for the light bulb, and you know you can do light bulb by using your mouse. I'm just control dot. It's kind of I know what to do. So control dot enter. Sorry not to explain that initially. But it basically adds these two lines and make that clearer. So it adds the view models as a namespace and it adds the data context as a property. And we bind it to the view model. We figure out which view model you're actually using behind the scenes. We have all sorts of heuristics to do that. We work with all sorts of open source frameworks as well. So it's just a powerful feature that lets you get IntelliSense. So let's undo this for a second, right? Because I want to show you what was the experience before to make it really concrete. Before, I had no IntelliSense. If I zoom in here to make it much bigger, let's hit the path equals, nothing comes up, right? We didn't know about your view model. Even though I had the right property here, that was just, you know, I typed the right stuff. Good for me. If I know that, lots of times you inherit a view that you don't remember all the property names or you make something new. So I'm going to put that back in. So now I did the whole control dot enter command again. So now I have the references on top that I need. And now this is going to be a better experience. If I go equals, I now get IntelliSense support. And the IntelliSense support tells me exactly what I could hook up to. So I'm going to go hook it up to rotating image URL. So that'll be the right thing for my running application. Now, this also works for commands as well. And it works both ways, from both getting IntelliSense in the code editor, but also creating new properties. So if I want to create a new property, because I've wired this up, if I do this and I do again control dot, it's going to give me a tooltip that's going to give me a suggestion that's saying, hey, I can create this for you if it's missing. And if I would hit enter here, it would actually go to my view model and make the change and create it. Just makes it easier to work from XAML straight into your view model and works for both you know, binding paths, properties, and for command properties. Now, this app also has the advantage of using dcolon, right? It's an app that's a perfect example. If I did not have dcolon, let's start removing all the design time data, this app would be a lot, you know, would look a lot different. Let's say we remove this, is checked as well. So now I really don't know what this app could potentially look like. I'm not sure what image size there is here. I'm not sure the text length, if it's going to go out of bounds based on the kind of text I'm expecting. If I had modified the template look and feel for like checkbox selection, I couldn't visualize the checkbox selection. So it really makes my app a lot worse for wear. And I'm going to put all that back in. And like magic, here you go. Everything is back in place. And at the same time, you know, now imagine on the other side of it, XAML Hot Reload, where you can run this app and make further tweaks as the app is running. So combine all of the tools. Hopefully, you have a really, really great experience. All right. We are down to the last few demos. So let's take a look at something that's coming in the future. So this is a feature that I'm about to show you that is it's been around for a few releases, but it's only available in preview channel. And the feature is called Suggested Actions. It used to be called something else. We've kind of been refining the name. But Suggested Actions is the right name going forward. So Suggested Actions is a light bulb in the designer. And it's currently available for first-party controls. And we're making it extendable for third-party controls as well. And what this does is give you the top most used properties to that control in a visual UI. Let me show you what that looks like. So let's use a button as an example. For the button, if I expand this out, we know what are the top properties that people tend to use from our own controls. We don't know custom controls because we don't look at your data. But for our controls, we do have some information and we're able to tell that these are the most common properties people will want to potentially modify. So we give you this graphical UI that doesn't require you to go to properties pane and search for the most common things you're most likely to change. And we give you rich editors right here from this experience. So you can click on the font and you can change the color, a color selector. We give you, you know, the ability to change your bold, your text type. You can make it as canceled, not canceled. You can change the name, etc. These are basically all the common properties. And in the future, we do expect control vendors to have the ability to integrate their own tabs in here. So you can imagine other control vendors doing some other properties that they think are important for their controls. But we've done this first pass for our controls, and we're shipping this feature as GA. If all goes well, everything is always subject to change, but we hope to ship this in 16.10 timeframe. So this feature again works on, let's use it on different control and images. Here are the most common properties for images. How many times have you wanted to change the source or the stretch? You know, I know I have opacity. Yeah, very, very common. So all of this stuff just becomes available, and you can enable this feature if you're in preview channel, or eventually if you're in 16.10, you'll have it for free, but it's all under options. So if I go under options, just know that under environments, preview features, there's all sorts of features for XAML. And today these features are not grouped, unfortunately, but if you go through here, you will see XAML suggested actions is something you can turn on. So with that, I wanna point out to one more thing, which is, this option right here. So I want to call this out. One of the things that I want to acknowledge is the fact that we have two different designers, code bases. We have one for the .NET framework developers, WPF specifically, .NET framework, and we have another code base for .NET Core. And we're doing all these, you know, suggested actions and other kind of improvements in the .NET Core version. So over time, we are planning to retire .NET framework. And what I would encourage all of you, if you have time to help us test, is check off this checkbox here, restart Visual Studio, and give the new designer a try if you have any WPF.NET framework projects. We'd love to see if anything breaks for you. We do know third-party controls, if they have some kind of designer-specific things, that those might break for you. But you know, again, we want to hear from you. We hope you give it a shot, because at some point we will probably flip the switch and make this a default in future releases of Visual Studio. So just wanted to call that out. It's important to my team. I hope you help us out with it. All right, I'm going to go back to the slides. Hope you've enjoyed that so far. And I'm going to switch to the very last thing here, which is what's next. So what is next? We are working really hard with the Xamarin Forms team on Xamarin Forms, and eventually what it's going to be called .NET MAUI in the .NET 6 timeframe, to make XAML Hot Reload a really great experience for developers. So the first thing that we're doing as far as 16.9 is we're making it all the same pipeline. So XAML Hot Reload, the code base behind it will be the same between a WPF developer, a WinUI developer, or a Xamarin Forms developer. That enables us to kind of invest all our eggs into one basket of, you know, be very productive as a team of not having code duplication and deliver you the best XAML Hot Reload experience. The one thing that you're missing today for Xamarin Forms, though, is element selector capability. And we are exploring adding that in a future release. We have a prototype that works, so I'm excited. Another thing we're doing is design time data improvements. Like I said, pet project of mine, I'm really excited about it. I know how much it would have helped me when I was a WPF developer. And in the future, we're going to do more. So just kind of stand by for that space. You know, sample data is one of the things that we're currently actively looking at. It's kind of like sample data generation for you, basically, instead of you having to type all that XAML yourself. And the slide got skipped. It was supposed to be the first slide, but that's fine. So the last two things is live preview. Live app preview is something that we are exploring for a future release. It's just experimental right now, but imagine having a live view of your running app next to your code editor. If you're on a single screen, we think that's going to make your XAML Hot Reload experience a lot more productive. And we will basically be exploring to ship that to you in a future release as a preview feature. So when you hear live preview in the future, I hope you give it a shot and check out things like element selectors and rulers and other things we hope to do there. And finally, MVVM scenarios in the code editor. The ones I showed you are just the beginning. The team has other ideas, and we're going to keep working on it. So that's it for my presentation. All right, any questions?
Yes, we do have one, sir. Actually, we have several. So once you're done with this, go ahead and ask them go ahead and answer them on Twitter. We have one from Nanda who wants to know, SAML data binding debug feature is great. Can this be used/extended to debug data trigger failures?
It's an interesting question. I would say file a suggestion ticket for the Visual Studio suggestion. You know, in VS on the top right, you can suggest a feature. Right. Put as much detail as you can in there. Talk, you know, maybe some sample code, the kind of errors you're experiencing that have been hard to debug, and then ping me on Twitter with a link to that, and I will take a look at it. It's a great suggestion.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have five or six other questions on Twitter. So once you're done with this, Dimitri, if you can answer that, that'd be great.
We'll do.
Perfect. Awesome.